The founding of our congregation was supported in so many ways by the Unitarian Universalist Association and by our parent congregation, First Unitarian Society. This morning we have greetings from both.
Hello, James Reeb Unitarian Universalist Congregation. I'm Susan Frederick Gray, President of the Unitarian Universalist Association, and on behalf of everyone here at the UUA, congratulations to you on this, your congregation's 25th anniversary. Thank you for the ways that you are living our UU values and mission in powerful, bold, and generous ways. For 25 years in Madison, Wisconsin, you've been nurturing spirit, working for justice, and building community. One thing that is so clear to me is how much our congregations matter. Their health and vitality are absolutely essential. For our congregations are where people of all ages experience the life-giving, life-saving, life-affirming ministry of Unitarian Universalism. Our congregations are where our values of justice, equity, and compassion are embodied and grow in community. And this is so needed. Because right now, our congregations are called to be communities of resiliency, courage, hope, and abundant love in this time. So thank you to each and every one of you, all the members, friends, staff, and leaders, Reverend Karen, all of you at James Reeb UU, for your commitment and your generosity to your congregation. It matters. I have fond memories of being with you all just a couple of years ago. Thank you for the warm welcome that day and the warm welcome that you offer to everyone who enters your doors. On behalf of the larger Unitarian Universalist Association and our over 1,000 congregations across the country, we celebrate with you your 25th anniversary. May this be a time to remember your past, to reflect on your deepest values, and to prepare yourselves for the next chapter of your congregation's amazing ministry. Congratulations and many blessings to you on this day.
Karen just asked me where my background music was. So thanks a lot, Reverend Karen, for having me follow Susan Frederick Gray. I really appreciate it. The things I do for her. Good morning. I'm Kelly Crocker, and I'm the Minister of Congregational Life at the First Unitarian Society, the congregation out of which this spiritual community grew. And it is an honor to be with you this morning to bring our congratulations and greetings on this, your 25th anniversary. My notes say that I recently came across a letter, but I don't want to lie to you this morning. Our most superb student minister, someone you know and love, Karen Bringelson, found this letter and makes my job and my everyday so much better. So thank you, Karen, for finding this letter. It is dated December 3rd, 1993, one day shy of 25 years. The letter was written to the Unitarian Universalist Association's Extension Office. It was written by Michael Schuler, our recently retired parish minister, and in part, the letter reads, "As you know, the First Unitarian Society of Madison enjoys a covenanting relationship with the James Reeb Congregation. Formation of the congregation followed 2 years of feasibility study, careful planning, and coordinated effort. I can heartily attest to its success. The congregation is doing very well and has exceeded our expectations. In its first 3 months of operation, an average of 50 to 60 adults attend services on Sundays. Several church school classes are up and running. We are very optimistic about the congregation's growth potential and are ourselves committed to supporting this extension project until it becomes self-sufficient. Accordingly, I heartily recommend that the James Reeb UU congregation be accepted for membership in the Unitarian Universalist Association. Now, 25 years later, these words ring true. I know your community to be one of faith, service, love, acceptance, inclusion, justice, and hope. There is much to celebrate today, and I would like to express my personal gratitude to you for your commitment to this faith we share, your willingness to be partners with us in the work of love and justice, and your strong Unitarian Universalist presence in our wider community. So here is to the next 25 years. May you continue to exceed all of our expectations for many years to come.
Thank you, Kelly. Arthur Thexton and Art Hackett were both on the committee at First Unitarian Society starting in 1991 that was charged with researching the potential to start this new congregation. Arthur couldn't be here today, but sent a reflection that Sarah Cook will read for us, and then Art will share some of his thoughts.
So these are Arthur's words. I wish I could be there with you in person.
Sorry.
But in August, I committed to preaching at our congregation in Elkhorn this Sunday, and by the time I was asked to be here, it was too late to reschedule. What I remember most about the months of meeting with the exploring and then the organizing committees was the evangelical nature of our commitment. Those of us who came from First Society were enthusiastic about the good news of Unitarian Universalism and its message of healing and hope. We were especially interested in growing the denomination, which had been struggling for years. We knew in our hearts that there were people on the East Side who would respond to having a place to grow in spirit, to provide a non-judgmental religious education for their children, and who would support social action grounded in faith. And the new congregation meeting Art Hackett and I received from the UUA in Boston, and the census data and demographic analysis we obtained from the people who specialize in massaging such statistics, supported our dreams. We did not hesitate to leave the well-oiled and functioning congregational machine across town, with its stability and firm supportive structures, to meet in park shelters, a daycare center, and then a silk screening shop, which has become the attractive building we now enjoy. The room in which you now sit held shelves upon shelves of t-shirts and other apparel, and the walls were painted black when we bought the building. There was an orange and black shag carpet glued to the floor. There were no windows or skylights, but we saw a gem in the rough and managed to polish it a step at a time. We're not finished. There are many people out there still hungry for our message. There is work to be done to make our community more loving and equitable, more generous and just. My own vision is for a congregation of at least 300 with full-time staff and programs befitting the legacy of the Reverend James Reeb, who invested his life in social justice work. Of course, that may not be your vision. And a lesson which was emphasized at the new congregation training was that we founders had to step back and give up our own visions so that the new members could develop their ownership of the congregation. 25 years ago, some five dozen of us lined up to sign the membership book. Some of us are still members, Others have moved on or died. Since then, scores more have signed, stayed, left, or died. I am grateful to them all and to you who are here now. The congregation continues to live and evolve. I am delighted and proud and hopeful as we look to the future, which is yours to create and which I will continue to support. May that future exceed all our expectations.
As was mentioned, this congregation actually was born, as far as I'm concerned, a few years before the Charter Sunday, because there were 2 years of hard work. And the first trip that Arthur and I took to Boston was in 1992, and it was, I remember it because it was right after I got back from a long trip to Russia, shooting a documentary for Wisconsin Public Television. And that was, ironically, during the time of the last, presidential campaign of George H.W. Bush, who passed away just a few days ago. So that's how far back that was. As far as the process of how this worked, the way the extension model worked, they had a handful of people who agreed to be part of this congregation and said, if this thing gets off the ground, you agree to attend it for a certain number of years, and you're going to take your pledges with you. And I was one of them, Arthur was one of them, and John, were you one of them? I think you were. So that's how it works. The UUA has tried a whole lot of different models for fostering new congregations, and they've had varying degrees of success. I don't think that has to do with the problems with the models, just the fact that it's hard work. There's a lot of effort that has to go into it. It's hard to do because when people move into a new city or create a new family and want to get involved, you tend to look around for the churches that are there, and you tend to cluster. You tend to find a church that's near you. Max Gabler, who was minister at First then, used to say that Unitarians labored under this belief that they were so awesome as a denomination that people would travel any distance to get to one. But he said, if you plot the members of the congregation on a map, the drop-off rate as you get away from the church is the same for Unitarians as it is for Methodists or Presbyterians or anybody else. And indeed, when we did that same exercise, putting pins in a map for every member of First Unitarian Society, one of the clusters was the neighborhood right across the street here between Johnson and East Washington. And this was not our first choice as a location. Sharon and I personally stumbled across this when we were out for an evening walk along the bike path, and we saw this, for sale or lease sign on the building. And this was as the congregation was beginning to look for a permanent location. Because our Charter Sunday service was over at Tinney Nursery. We weren't here yet. But we literally were outgrown on day one there. Someone remarked, said, what did they do after the service on that December 3rd? What we did was we had to take all of our stuff, carry it into the basement, bring up all the play equipment used by Tenney Nursery, and reassemble it in the room where we had just had the service. Okay, that's what we did that day. So as far as, you know, how I got involved in this, part of it was literally a geographic decision. I had one young son at that time. We only had two kids by then. And but you know, when you have to drive all the way through the isthmus to get to the building, it kind of hampers your ability to participate in evening events and things. So we wanted something on the east side. I mean, Arthur talks more about the spiritual focus of it. I think some people looked at first and said it was like attending a philosophy lecture at the UW. I wouldn't know. I've never attended a philosophy class. But anyway, but I was, you know, it was strictly a geographic activity. The congregation, I'm the other thing that I have to say is that Edkin as an architect can probably correct me on this, but there is a rule in church design and size that says if you don't have at least 25% of your seats empty, you start losing people. I think you've got a problem already, okay? Another problem again. And I'm, as somebody who left town 2 years ago, I'm just overjoyed to see it as full as it is today. And but again, I you know, I can see further changes are necessary. I'm also aware of your efforts to accommodate a sanctuary. When we designed this building, that wasn't the meaning of the word sanctuary. I think we were, you know, had in the forefront of our minds. But as Arthur said, he wanted a congregation that respects the wishes and the actions of James Reeb. I'm sure that if he were with us today, he would be very concerned about the way our nation is dealing with immigration and the people who come here. So I will close by saying that I'm, you know, as I've moved on, next Sunday I'm going to become a member of the First Congregational Church in Cedar Rapids. Our two denominations have similar roots back in New England, and that church is a little closer to me than the UU congregation in Cedar Rapids. Yeah, same thing, and geography. And but it is it's interesting that it is located in a challenged neighborhood, and it has a social mission that is, I think, very similar to the congregation that James Reeb served in Boston. So one of the things they're doing is there's a building across the street that once served as the church's Sunday school. It's now being remodeled to provide serve as a transitional housing for the homeless. That's what I have been working on earlier. So, you know, even though I'm not physically building churches anymore, I still have not put down the hammer and the nails. So thank you for asking me to come back.
Thank you so much, Art. I'm so glad you're here. I want to invite our other charter members who are here today to stand and be recognized, because Art and Arthur were not the only ones. Out of the 53 or so folks that signed that book on December 5th, 1993, there are a handful in this room: Mary Wagner, Ed Kaharsky, Sandy Person, Sharon Bogert, Rand Hill. Am I missing anyone? Thank you.